This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Stephanie Neugebauer of St. Louis is the new Director of Life and Health Ministries with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. Neugebauer succeeds Dr. Maggie Carter, who stepped down from the post in January to spend more time with her family after being diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. Carter was called home to her Heavenly Father September the 25th. Since 2012, Neugebauer has been the lead ultrasonographer with Thrive St. Louis, a pregnancy resource center. She's also served the LCMS Life Ministry since June 2014 as a consultant and project leader for What Is This? Looking at Life in the Womb, which is the ministry's curriculum resource for middle and high school students. It was released this past summer. She also appears in the accompanying Looking at Life in the Womb video, which focuses on ultrasound technology and prenatal development to highlight the sanctity of human life. Neugebauer graduated summa cum laude in 2012 from Concordia University, Wisconsin, with a Bachelor of Science degree. She also holds a 2014 Master of Arts degree in Practical Theology from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. In her new position, Neugebauer will oversee all programs developed for the Synod's life and health ministries, both domestic and international, formulate strategic goals for those ministries, and direct the church's body's pro-life and health-related mercy outreach efforts. She worked with Carter and other LCMS Life Ministry staff to produce the ultrasound curriculum, an idea that Neugebauer proposed. She called Carter an incredible woman who helped the ultrasound project get off and running. And she said that she's humbled to be taking the position of Director of Life and Health Ministries.
And now today's Fast Track.
Here's news and brief of interest to Lutherans worldwide. California Governor Jerry Brown signed a law mandating that all licensed pregnancy centers in the state disseminate to clients a message promoting public programs with free or low-cost access to abortion and contraceptive services. The new law makes no exception for pro-life and faith-based crisis pregnancy centers. According to the legislation, pregnancy centers that fail to disseminate the message are liable for a civil penalty of $500 for a first offense and $1,000 for each subsequent offense. Alliance Defending Freedom, a nonprofit organization that works to defend religious liberty, has filed a complaint in federal court against the law that forces pro-life crisis pregnancy centers to promote abortion providers. A sign declaring God bless the military is staying put on a Hawaiian military base despite protests from an atheist advocacy group in the military. Colonel Sean C. Killeen, commander of the Marine Corps base in Hawaii, located on Oahu, told the Honolulu Star Advertisers, quote, "We will always support all service members' rights to pursue and practice their own belief sets, whether religious or not." The sign became a sore point in September when base officials received a complaint from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, an Albuquerque, New Mexico-based group that supports atheists in the military. A new independent film recounts the faith and unity of a Birmingham, Alabama high school football team and the years after integration. The movie's co-director said that he hopes its message resonates with current students and helps them realize the power of perseverance. Parts of it were shot at the high school and at Legion Field, where a 1974 game between Woodlawn and Banks High Schools drew more than 40,000 spectators. The turnout was the largest ever for an Alabama high school football game. The film focuses on the impact religious fellowship had in unifying black and white members of the Woodlawn High School football team in the early 1970s during lingering opposition to integration. The movie also highlights the relationship between Coach Tandy Geralds and Tony Nathan, who went on to play for the University of Alabama and in the NFL. Nathan was among the University of Alabama's first black football players. For the 13th consecutive year, the executive branch continues to override expert recommendations to designate Pakistan as an egregious violator of religious freedom, this despite an annual State Department report highlighting numerous abuses, particularly those associated with the Islamic country's blasphemy laws. The latest report, covering 2014 and released by Secretary of State John Kerry, said that during the course of the last year, Pakistani courts had sentenced three people convicted of blasphemy to death, six to life in prison, and 2 to 3 years imprisonment. 12 new blasphemy cases have been registered with the police. The Seminary Relations Committee of the International Lutheran Council met on October 6 on the campus of the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Oberursel, a school of the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany. The meeting was scheduled to prepare for the 6th International Lutheran Council World Seminary Conference, which is scheduled to take place next year. The conference met under the theme, Shaping Confessional Lutheranism in the 21st Century, the Impact of the Lutheran Reformation on Mission, Worship, and Worldview.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടി ആകുന്നു. യാ വിശ്വ ലൂത്രൻ സമാചാർ ഹേ.
I'm Kip Allen, host of World Lutheran News Digest. My guest today is Stephanie Neugebauer, and she is the director of the health and... Well, you tell me, what is your actual title?
I am the director of Life and Health Ministries.
Life and Health Ministries. What is the ministry? What does it do?
Well, life and health can be considered into the two different divisions, so the life ministry division and the health ministry division. Life ministry includes every issue pertaining to life, so a wide range of topics, from abortion to end-of-life issues to everything in between, including human trafficking, human sexuality, bioethics and healthcare. So we cover a broad range of topics, and we seek to produce publications and resources that will guide the church in their thinking on these topics.
Now, this was a position originally held by Maggie Kerner, who recently passed away, who has been in the news all over the country for her stand where she was terminally ill and refused and opposed assisted suicide. So you've got some big shoes to fill. So let me ask you, who are you? Who is Stephanie?
Yeah, absolutely. I have some big shoes to fill. Maggie was awesome at her job, and I hope to continue her work here in Life Ministries and to be as honorable and as faithful as she was. My background, I am a graduate of Concordia University, Wisconsin. I have a bachelor's degree in science, and I became a registered diagnostic medical sonographer. So I performed ultrasound for about 5 years. I was a lead sonographer at a medical clinic, and I got interested, of course, with life and health because that was kind of my forte. My area of interest was with babies and the unborn. And I started working with life and health through the ultrasound curriculum that we've produced, and that was about 2 years ago. So that's actually how I came to meet Maggie in her position.
Tell me about the meeting with Maggie.
Well, I originally met with Reverend Bart Day, who then got me in touch with Maggie Kerner. And Maggie, of course, was working deployed, but I was able to meet with her a couple times. And the one time that I came and proposed my idea to Reverend Day, Maggie happened to be in town. And so I was able to meet with her directly. And it was pretty amazing, her response to just a dream that I had had, and for her to take a young 20-something female who hadn't yet gotten my master's degree at the seminary at that point, and to take my idea and to give it some credence and ultimately some wings, it was just, it blew my mind how open and receptive she was to the idea and how quickly she got on board and then made that her own vision as well.
And this was actually before Maggie became ill.
That's correct. Yes.
So what were the ideas that you were presenting to Maggie? What was your dream? What was your vision of what should be done here?
Well, my dream was to utilize ultrasound technology in the issue of abortion. So my experience was working in a pregnancy resource center where we use ultrasound technology simply to educate women on the unborn. So what was going on in prenatal development. And I realized very quickly how effective ultrasound was in in changing the hearts and minds of these women towards their unborn babies, where before they were strongly considering abortion, 9 out of 10 times when they saw an ultrasound, they would instead choose to carry their baby to term. And so realizing how effective ultrasound is in that arena, I thought it made great sense for the LCMS to use that technology in educating its parishioners as well.
And it's interesting to me that Planned Parenthood and its supporters are adamantly opposed to ultrasound, to having their patients see ultrasound of their babies.
Well, that can be true. Legally, they have to provide ultrasounds for their patients. And so it probably just varies, you know, depending on a location, how readily ultrasound is available. But they are required to show ultrasound to their patients before an abortion procedure.
There's been some interesting ultrasounds that have come out recently. I just saw one a couple of days ago about babies in the womb responding to music. That was incredible. It shows that there is a much more developed cognitive process in these unborn children, and I think is generally known. Now, this is something that you've been involved in professionally for years. What's your observation of that, of the cognizance of the unborn?
Well, just that it doesn't even have to be tied with cognizance, honestly. just to see that the baby is a new life quite apart from the mother and does its own movements that aren't associated with the mom. They react very much to stimuli such as caffeine, to light, to sound. So biologically and also outside stimuli as well. So, you know, just that's another, for instance, of what you just gave of the humanity of the unborn.
That's an interesting phrase, the humanity of the unborn. And this is part of the message that the LCMS is trying to put across.
Absolutely.
Now, one thing Maggie did, again, just leaves me in awe of this woman, was she traveled overseas to third world areas and dealt directly with the youngsters, the children, the mothers, and the elderly over there, and helped with the medical mercy missions. Is this something that you'll be continuing, a tradition that you'll continue with?
Yes, absolutely. We actually have a team in Madagascar right now through the Mercy Medical teams. They just left last Friday, and it's absolutely a program that we intend to continue and to grow, and I plan on going on multiple trips as well. So yes, I mean, Maggie was a very wise woman and having compassion and a heart for overseas missions.
And you will be taking part of these as well?
Yes, correct.
Okay, you'll probably have to have more pages added to your passport. You know, that happened to our that actually happened to our photographer, Eric Lunsford. He actually ran out of pages in his passport and had to have it expanded. So there are other things that the Life and Health Ministries do. You talked about literature and educational processes. Could you go into that a little bit more?
Sure. As far as the literature is concerned, we're working on updating some pamphlets for churches to use in their foyers. They're the What About series that will educate anyone that picks one of those pamphlets up about any of the life issues that they're pertaining to. Resources would also include, of course, the Ultrasound Education Project. And we offer a number of symposiums and conferences throughout the year that are open for anyone to attend. For example, coming up in November, we have an infertility ethics symposium that we'll be hosting. So that's just yet another resource that the LCMS offers as a voice and some sense of guidance for anyone in churches who are willing and wanting to come.
What is an infertility ethics forum?
Well, the Infertility Ethics Symposium is compiled of five different speakers who will be giving a theological and biological take on infertility issues. So, for example, there will be Reverend Michael Salaming, Director for Lutherans for Life, who will be giving a speech and a presentation about how pastors should deal with couples struggling with infertility in their churches, so a pastoral approach to infertility. Another topic that we'll be talking about is actually in vitro fertilization and the ethics of that, not only from a theological standpoint, but also from a scientific and ethical standpoint.
How do we stand theologically on that, on in vitro?
Well, the LCMS is currently working on updating their stance on that because nothing has really been published for several years. And so we have somewhat of an outdated formal statement on assisted reproductive technologies, and honestly don't have any kind of formal statement right now. So that's something we're working on articulating at this time.
You've got a lot of work ahead. There's a lot to do. This has been an enormous issue, from conception to natural end of life. Now, we've just seen in California where they have just now legalized assisted suicide. And now I think that's the fifth or sixth state. The rest of the country so far is against it. However, the efforts are going on in state by state by state, and there is a definite fight going on. What is our position? Well, we know what our position is. We are opposed to any kind of assisted suicide. But what actual efforts are we taking to counter this trend?
We as Life and Health Ministries has a document called Mercy at Life's End that seeks to educate people in the parish about what our stance is. But quite simply, what we're doing right now is trying to educate pastors on how to handle this on a very local basis in their churches, how to talk about this in their Bible studies, and how to preach a very pro-life message. And by pro-life, we don't just mean an abortion issue, but an end-of-life issue as well. And absolutely, we believe from natural conception to natural death, the Lord's hand and will is in and amongst it all, and we should do our very best to support and take care of our neighbor in all of those stages.
Maggie, I think, really enumerated a number of the issues when she was in her final stages. She really spelled out why, over and above the theological reasons for extending life as long as she did, but also what the contributions were she was able to make to her family, to her friends, to the people around her. She related about how when her father was ill and dying, how they actually sat down and talked for the first time in many, many years, and they understood things about each other. And in many ways, she regarded these final months as a gift. And perhaps it's one way to look at it. On a personal note, let me state, I'm a widower. And my wife went a long illness, and I was her primary caregiver. It was quite an experience. It was quite an experience. And I did get a great deal of support from my pastor on that, who was able to help explain what was going on and was able to help me through my feelings and really see how this related to everything, how it related to God's plan. It was a very, very important and very informative period in my life. Hmm. And I would urge anyone who is facing that, a loved one going through that, contact your pastor. They can help you so much. And I was unaware at the time of the Life and Health Ministry, and I really wish I had known more about it. What would you be able to do in a situation like this if I were to contact you and say, my spouse is dying? How do I handle it?
Are you asking myself as the director of Life and Health?
Yes. I'm asking.
I see.
Yeah, what resources do you have? What can you do with it? What can the organization do to help?
Well, we primarily serve to be the guide on these types of issues. And so hopefully the number one thing we would do is to provide support to you, not only prayerful support, but also support in the decision-making process of caring for your loved one. And also hopefully answering any questions you have. If there's any kind of questions on ethical boundaries in healthcare, we certainly are there and exist for that purpose as well. And then, of course, to connect you to local resources that can really be on the ground with you. And that includes the recognized service organizations that we have, any kind of pastors in that area that are skilled in caring for those as well. That would be our first step.
Local hospice care, for example, in my experience, they were of an enormous help to me, that there was a local hospice organization. But I worked through the hospital at the time rather than through the church. I wish now that I had done it through the church. Hmm. because I think it would have eased a lot of problems and a lot of stress that I'd had. And this is something where you can go to your pastor, and the pastor can contact you or whatever service organizations are available. And they are out there. They are out there. I mean, there are so many things that people don't realize when facing end-of-life issues. Everything from, you know, what do you do when the person has passed? How do you handle the remains? What does that person want? How do you handle it? What documents need to be signed legally? And that was something, I mean, I think it took about 2 years before I could finally convince certain agencies that my wife was dead. I kept getting notices and everything. She has to respond to this. Well, you can. You know, she's gone. Mm-hmm. But this was something that I was completely unprepared for, was mm-hmm. dealing with everything from magazine subscriptions to voter registration, driver's licenses, insurance matters. There's a lot that has to be considered. And this is from both, I think, the person who is undergoing the transition from life to death, as well as to the caregiver. And there's a lot that these people can do together that will bring them together and that will help the process along. And, you know, I would urge people to do this. They really need to do this if they're ever in the situation. And this is something that Life and Health Ministries can help with, assisting with the local churches and other organizations. What are some of the registered service organizations that you would recommend for life issues, both regarding abortion and regarding end of life?
Number one would be Lutherans for Life. Lutherans for Life is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And Lutherans for Life and Health Ministry work very closely together and are working on continuing a healthy relationship so that we can pretty much make a greater impact together. And so Lutherans for Life also touches on end-of-life issues, not only issues of abortion or surrounding abortion issues, but the whole gamut as we do as well.
Are there other service organizations, senior services perhaps, that helps assist with that when a person's declining health becomes an issue?
Yes, Lutheran Senior Services as well is a recognized service organization. That's correct. And as a new person, I honestly am not educated in all of the RSOs that we have, the recognized service organizations, but Life and Health would serve as a medium between the question and then connecting that person, individual or church, with a recognized service organization.
That is one of the goals, I think, both of a program like this and organizations like yours. There are many, many resources available through the church that I think a lot of people are unaware exist. And this is one of the things. And I would urge anyone who is facing an issue like that, talk to their pastor. Because the pastor is going to know an awful lot about what is available and what resources are out there. And there's a lot more, I think, than people realize. Some of the services that you offer, like the ultrasound that you're talking about, working with local health clinics.
Yes, absolutely. The pastor should be the first and primary point person for any of these conversations. And the reason for that being is that they're the shepherd of that flock, and they're the primary person who is charged with the responsibility of caring for the spiritual well-being of their members. And so not only will they, you know, be able to provide you with local referrals, but will also be able to treat and handle this issue in a very delicate manner according to your certain circumstance.
The LCMS is undergoing a program now where we are really stressing a lot in terms of our students who are now facing college, high school. And of course, they're going to be addressing every issue from sexuality to health issues, things that they've never had to face before. Is this an area where your department can work with others to help get this message out, to help get the information available to these people?
Absolutely. We provide a number of youth resources along with the more adult resources that we have. So, for instance, the Ultrasound Education Project is targeted at middle school and high school age children.
Really? I didn't know that young.
Yes, that's correct. In addition to that, however, we're also working on building relationships with the Concordia University systems so that they're educated, especially their medical students, about parish nursing. That is the health side of our ministry. And also, you know, working with those colleges and universities to create better resources for their students on those issues.
Stephanie, if someone needs to contact you, either as an individual or from one of the congregations, something along that line, how can they get in touch with you and find out how you can help them?
Simply my email. It's my first.lastname@lcms.org.
And why don't you spell that out, because you do have an unusual last name.
Yeah, it's Stephanie.Neugebauer, Neugebauer @lcms.org.
Okay. They can also get resources from the main LCMS website.
Absolutely. We have a Life Ministry website that you can simply Google LCMS Life Ministry and it will pop up.
Stephanie, thank you very much for appearing on the program today. And I wish you all the best. You're filling some very big shoes, but I'm sure you're capable of taking care of it. I can see that you're dedicated, and you have some ideas, and you've got some wonderful enthusiasm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkins, and host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign as Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime, streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.